On this episode, we'll go over three reasons not to fear the IRS. We'll go into what penalty is 10 times higher than failing to pay the IRS. There are two types of payment plans. We'll dive into both. And then the big thing that is prohibited while you're on an IRS payment plan. Hopefully this episode is helpful, brings you value. If it does, please do us a favor and share the show. Thanks. Have a great day and enjoy the show. Welcome to Build Your Wealth Muscle, a podcast dedicated to helping fitness entrepreneurs build wealth by saving taxes and growing their money. Each episode will break down different strategies in the areas of business, tax, and retirement planning specifically for your coaching business. Disclaimer, the topics covered in this podcast are for educational purposes only. This is not advice for your specific situation. Please consult a qualified financial or tax professional before making any changes to your financial or tax situation. Now here's your host, certified financial planner and tax advisor, Pat Darby. Hey, what's going on, everybody? I hope you're having a great week. Today, I want to talk about something that it's obviously tax season as you're, well, not obviously because depending on when you're listening to this, but I'm recording it in mid-March of 2024. So for those who aren't aware, if this is your first time listening, a lot of times we'll have guests on. We haven't had a guest in a while, but these solo episodes, we really like to go deep on specific topics related to taxes and finance. So one of the things I want to highlight today is what I think is a big misconception out there in terms of ducking and fearing the IRS. And so what do I mean by that? Basically, when you owe something to the IRS, and obviously this could be applicable to your state as well, I feel like people have more fear of them than they should, especially because the IRS has a lot of systems in place to work with you. And I think that potentially is left out of the conversation. And what often people I think do is if they can't pay what they owe, they don't even want to file either. And we'll go into why that's not a good idea, even the way the IRS sets up their penalties and things like that. They're trying to disincentivize that behavior. So again, I want to really emphasize as a broad strokes, and we're going to dive into the examples. The IRS is very similar to a bank in that if you owed the bank money, maybe you're late on your mortgage, whatever the case may be, you would probably reach out to them and try to negotiate before all the negative things start to happen in terms of like repossession and in the IRS, like levying and collections, things like that. So let's talk about some of the differences, the way the IRS works. So if you're a W-2 employee, you're probably very familiar with the fact that the IRS gets paid by you all throughout the year. Every time you get a paycheck from your employer, what's missing is the taxes. And so that's feeding your federal, your state, if you live in a state that charges. And then there's going to be some Social Security taxes, Medicare taxes, things like that. So the IRS is getting paid by those W-2 employees all throughout the year, essentially right away, for lack of a better term. When you're a business owner, that's not the case. No one's withholding anything from you. So the IRS says, we want to get paid. And so they do, or they have quarterly estimated payments. Now, if you want details on how those work, you can go to episode 39 of my podcast. I think it was February of 2022. So it's a long time. I need to redo that episode just so it's modernized. But the details are still the same. I just obviously would redo it. So it's at the top of the queue for new listeners. But there's four quarterly estimated payments, but essentially you owe the IRS five payments because you pay the quarterly, and then when April hits, you pay the balance due that your accountant calculates, or maybe you overpaid. And then as a business owner, you're going to get really two choices. You can get the refund, but more commonly, the accountant is just going to apply that overpayment to the current year. That's usually more favorable because then it's one less headache you have in terms of maybe another future quarterly payment, or if your business is doing very well, then that's just less money out of your pocket because obviously your quarterly payments are going to go up as your business profits go up. But here's the two distinctions that we want to clear up. You're often going to hear people talk about filing an extension. Again, this is tax season, people filing an extension. And I'm a big advocate on that. In fact, I need to do a podcast episode on there's a lot of benefits to that. The main one being if you file an extension, you can lower your audit risk because extended, at least currently, that could change because I know the IRS is hiring a lot of people and all that stuff. But currently, as I'm recording this, your audit rate goes lower if you're extended. But this is where I want to draw the distinction. There is the extension to file. That's paperwork, meaning your accountant is filling out the forms and giving you 6 more months. So if you have a business tax return, those are always due March 15th. Obviously, it could change by a day or two. If there's a federal holiday, it could be the 16th, things like that. But or falls on the weekend, et cetera. And then that'll extend you from March 15th to September 15th. Now, most of you listening, if you're a business owner, you're a pass-through entity, meaning you are a one-member LLC, a partnership, an S-corp. And in those circumstances, the business doesn't pay the tax. It passes through to you personally. So that's April 15th. Everyone knows that's the tax filing deadline. You can extend that to October. Now, that extension is filing, not payments. So even if you sit down with your accountant, he's like, oh, he or she's like, I'm going to extend you, which is very common also, especially the colleagues I work with, because they're very good at what they do. So they have a lot of clients and they have a lot of demand. So to deal with that capacity, oftentimes 6 weeks out, 8 weeks out from the filing deadline, they're already telling people, hey, we're going to have to put you on extension because we're backed up. Let me work on your stuff in May, June, July, August, things like that, which is more also a business decision for them so they don't have to turn people away. But that being said, you have the ability to file the extension, but you still owe the money on April 15th. And that's what trips people up. But I say that to say, it's important that you take the filing requirement more seriously. Now, let's go into the penalties and I'll explain why. It is 10 times more punitive to not file than it is to not pay. And here's the reason. If you fail to pay, the IRS assesses you 0.5% or 50 basis points, however you want to read that number, each month that you are late on the payment. Again, it's half of 1%, 50 basis points, up to 25%. If you fail to file, it's 10 times higher. It is 5% for each month, up to 25%. So again, they're making it very punitive to not send them the paperwork. And again, that's, you can extend and do this in October, but it's much worse to miss the filing than it is to actually miss the payments. Now, here's the part where I think people panic and want to duck the IRS. They're like, okay, I can't afford to pay the IRS. The IRS operates very similarly to a bank. As I'm recording this in March of 2024, the interest rate the IRS is going to charge you for being late is, I'm going to say this with like air quotes, is 8%, only 8%. Now, again, that might sound high because I think maybe even like 3 years ago, that number was probably 5%, but obviously everything has gone up interest rate wise. But comparing that to the fact that credit cards are probably four times that. Other sort of medium-term loans might be higher than that. So it's not the end of the world. The IRS is not the most expensive lender that you could potentially be dealing with. So you shouldn't duck them worrying that it's very expensive to try to work with them. And on top of that, now that's the interest you're going to pay, but they have payment options for you. So first things first, if you owe the IRS money, it's important you understand reaching out to them can alleviate some of your biggest fears. For example, and I don't specialize in tax resolution. So if you're listening to this and you are really behind the eight ball with the IRS, both with filing and or payments, you should work with an accountant that has expertise in this arena, because they might be able to know even more loopholes than I'm going to describe today. But I'll say as a, a general rule, picking up the phone and calling the IRS has the ability to pause what they're potentially doing to you behind the scenes. Like they might be about to put a lien on your property. They might have you in collections. Like there's a lot of things that they could be either actively doing or preparing to do because you owe them money and it's X amount of months or years delinquent. Calling them up and asking for a way to work with them oftentimes pauses those actions because again, now you're working with them and they want to work with you. So one of the things that you can do is called a short-term payment plan. It gives you 180 days to pay them. And all you have to basically do is call up and request that. Now, much like a bank, they're going to continue the interest and penalties while you pay them back. But again, it buys you that time. Like if they were about to do something to you, they're going to stop and they're going to give you 180 days to pay them. This 180-day payment, they call it a short-term payment plan, has no costs, no fees. Again, the interest and the penalties, that's not what I'm referring to because the next plan I'm going to talk to you about, they charge you just to activate it. Now, here's a number I have that you can call, the 800-829-1040. That's the IRS number. They have a number of different phone numbers. But again, the short-term payment plan costs you nothing to just call up and say, hey, I need 6 months to pay you back. Now, the next one you've potentially heard of, it's their long-term payment plan or the installment agreement. Again, you might have already heard that term before. This one's going to cost you to activate. It's not a lot of money, relatively. Their basic plan is going to be, the cost is going to be between $31 and $130. So again, if you owe them tens of thousands of dollars and you're stressing out, that activation fee is nominal, for lack of a better term. So the cool thing about this one, they're going to give you 6 years or 72 months to pay them back. And so obviously for most people, that should be enough time. And again, if you're severely behind the eight ball and you don't think that you can pay them back, you do want to work with a tax resolution specialist because you're going to have to prove that financial hardship. If it's just a big number and you're trying to get out of paying it, you might have a tougher time. But if for XYZ, you legitimately can't, again, you want to work with an expert who can help navigate that process for you. But if you owe them under $25,000, the installment agreement is guaranteed. And so now there's some stipulations but for the most part, the person who answers the phone, if you owe them less than $25,000, can get you what you need. If you owe them more than that, again, if you owe them $25,000 to $50,000, you're also going to have to agree to connect your bank account to the IRS so that they're going to take their monthly payment on auto debit. You don't control when they receive the money. They're going to pull it. But again, it gives you 6 years to do it. If you owe them more than $50,000, you can still qualify. Now, they're going to try to run the numbers so that you pay them every penny within 6 years. But in theory, there's no limit on how high this number could go as long as you can show them the capacity to pay them off. So if you have a very successful business and you got behind for whatever reason and your business continues to do well and you can pay them off over time, don't fear the IRS, even if you owe, in your opinion, a large sum of money, because they're willing to work with you if you're willing to work with them. Again, just like a bank, if you had a multi-million-dollar property that you were falling behind on, there's a good chance they want to work with you rather than go through all the expensive costs of repossession and things like that. So I mentioned this already, but again, reasons not to hide with starting a payment plan, with reaching out to the IRS. When you have a payment plan, the IRS is prohibited from levying your properties. So again, you have taxpayer rights, but you have to initiate them by doing these installment agreements. Even the time period when your installment agreement is pending and you're under review, because again, if you owe them a lot of money, it's not going to be as turnkey as someone who owes them less than 25 grand, because there's going to be a financial audit and there's going to be higher ups that need to approve it, not just the person who answers the phone for you. But during that time period, your levies are prohibited. So again, just working with them buys you time. Okay, now here's, this will be a shorter episode. So here's like a pro tip. And this is something I did. I'm well aware of these because when I first became an entrepreneur, I needed to get on an installment agreement because, and so I talk about on my social media, that self-employment taxes are like the silent killer for a brand new business owner. Because when I was brand new in finance, I was 100% commission on 1099. And so I back of the envelope math, the federal, and then you get hit with the self-employment tax, which is in many times like as much or more than the federal. And so that can be extremely surprising and cost prohibitive for a business owner, especially if you haven't been doing your own withholdings. That's why I'm a big advocate on business owners putting money aside from their top line revenue. But here's a mistake that I made when I was on my installment agreement. I need to go back and look at the years that I had it so that I could give you guys a detailed breakdown of what I did wrong. But basically, I got on my installment agreement and I was stressing out. I was like, oh my God, I have an installment agreement. Again, I had 6 years to pay it off, but I didn't like having debt to the IRS. It stressed me out. And this is why, again, I emphasize you shouldn't stress out because my stressing out screwed me over. So what I would do when I had my installment agreement, in my current year, again, I had prior taxes that the IRS agreed to let me pay back. And so in the current year, I was aggressively trying to pay down my prior IRS debt, like overpaying on my installment agreements. Then the new tax bill would come in and all my funds had been used to pay the prior year. And so now I owed money again. And now I'm going back to the IRS again for a new installment agreement to add to the balance. I think I did that like 2 or 3 years in a row. And it hit the point, and I think it was in the third year, I can't remember, that it wasn't that the dollar value had gone up significantly. It was that I had so many consecutive requests for installment agreement, it kicked me to the higher level where now I'm like getting more scrutiny, more questions, more financial, I don't say audit, because that, again, that sounds like a scary word, but there was much more financial scrutiny on me getting approved. What I should have been doing, and I could kick myself because it cost me a lot of penalties and interest, was getting that installment agreement and whatever, like similar like a car payment. Well, that's a bad example because if your interest rate's low, you might slow it down. But what I should have done was take that original installment agreement and said, cool, like whatever I owed them per month, because it wasn't a lot. It was like $200 or $300 a month. It wasn't much. And then I should have taken the full 6 years to pay it and instead put all my additional profits towards my quarterly estimated payments and the current year. So that way I had that pile of debt that I was earmarked over 72 months, and then I was aggressively getting current with the IRS. That was a big mistake that I made. And by doing it my way, the crappy way, that also made me ineligible by the time I finished everything. Because one of the IRS agents is like, oh, what you should do is once you get done and you're about to make your final payment, call us up and see if we can abate all these penalties and interest, which sometimes you can do. But because I requested so many, they're like, you're ineligible now. So it screwed me out of potentially getting money lifted from what I already paid in. So let that be like a pro tip. If you're in that situation and you have an installment or you need an installment, once you get it, turn your attention, pay the minimum, basically, is what I'm saying, so that you can turn your attention towards the current year. And obviously, I'm not saying to purposely pay it over 6 years, but make sure you're staying current so that you're not each year asking your installment agreement. And so that's going to save you a lot of penalties and interest. And obviously, as you do better in your business or you get caught up, then you can start making lump sum payments down on the principal that you owe the IRS. But hopefully that's helpful. Again, I wasn't taught that in the industry. I learned that the hard way through personal experience. So hopefully this has been helpful. Again, the key takeaways, if you're getting letters from the state or from the IRS, open them, reach out to your accountant and or call the IRS or the Department of Taxation at your state level. take care of it right away, because hiding is usually the worst for you and most expensive for you. So hopefully it's helpful, guys. Have a great week. Have a great tax season. If you guys need a tax advisor so that we're talking strategy all year, reach out to us in the show notes. There's my Instagram, or you can always email me as well, info@sincitycfo.com. All right, guys, have a good one. Thank you for joining us this week on Build Your Wealth Muscle. The links mentioned in this episode are available in the show notes. For video clips and more information on tax and retirement strategies for fitness entrepreneurs, please follow my Instagram @ThePatDarby. If you found value in this episode, please do us a favor and share with a friend. If you tag me, that'd be appreciated also. Lastly, for help implementing any of the topics discussed, please book a call. The link is also in the show notes. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.